Hey, if you brought a Bible, which we encourage you to do, open it to John chapter 8. If you didn't bring one, no worries. We got all the verses. They're going to be in your bulletin. They're also going to be on the screen. I just want to remind you that here at Fusion, we are a Jesus community. Now, if you're not a follower of Jesus, that is, you are welcome here. We are so glad that you're a part of this place. But we are a community that is seeking Jesus in all that we do, in every way that we can. And we seek Jesus every single week by reading his word. And so we're going to dive in together. Hope you're ready. Hope you're expected. Hope you have faith and believe that the God of the universe looked at tonight and said, I want this person in this room because I've got a word for them. So I hope you are ready to receive what God has to say to you tonight. John chapter 8, starting in verse 30, says this. And as he, Jesus, was saying these things, many believed in him. Then Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, if you continue in my word, you really are my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. We are descendants of Abraham, they answered, and we have never been enslaved to anyone. How can you say you will become free? Jesus responded, truly I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin. A slave does not remain in the household forever, but a son does remain forever. So if the son sets you free, you really will be free. Would you pray with me? Jesus, we thank you for tonight. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is alive, that it is active, that when we read it and apply it to our lives by the help of your Holy Spirit, we are a changed people. Lord, we invite you into this time together. Jesus, we desire to get a clear picture of who you are through our snapshot of you tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Fusion, let me ask you a question. Have you ever found that something that was in your life that promised to bring freedom to you actually ended up enslaving you to it? And you're like, Bo, that's a deep question to start off with. Like, really, 0 to 10 there, Flores. Okay, think about it like this. How many of us are smartphone users in the room? Okay, iPhones, Android, something like that. Yeah, absolutely. I am as well. I have mine on me because I always have mine on me, it seems like. These things, these smartphones, they were designed, they were promised us to bring freedom to us, right? When you have a smartphone, you have freedom to look up any piece of information that has ever been available in all of human history because you have the internet with you at all times, 24 hours a day. Anywhere in the world you are, you can look up any piece of information available to the internet. You're free from needing a computer. You're free from needing to plug into the internet. You're free from those little AOL discs that used to show up in the mail that you had to put in your computer. If you don't remember that, you're just a little bit too young for that. But you're free from all of that. You are free with a phone to connect with anyone and everyone. Through social media, we're friends with people. Friends of people from high school that we thought we would never see again. People we hoped we would never see again, now we're friends with, and we can connect with people. We're free to connect with people all the time. We are free to never need to remember a phone number again. How many of us, when you were growing up, you had to remember phone numbers if you wanted to call somebody, right? When I was a kid, I had like 50 numbers in my brain at all times. I knew my home phone number. I knew my friends' phone numbers. I knew the phone number for the movie line that I would call to find out what time movies were playing so I could go see movies with my friends. I know one phone number now, which is mine. And I'll usually know Blake's, but I oftentimes forget it when I'm trying to remember it on the spot. But this phone has freed us from needing to remember phone numbers. We are free to listen to any song that's ever been recorded at any moment. We have access to it all the time. No longer do you need a Discman. Rest in peace to Discman, right? Like walking through the halls of your high school hoping nobody bumps you because they're going to make your Discman skip and you're going to lose your song, right? You're free from that. Freedom to never need a GPS, to never get lost. All of this freedom. Yet, despite all of the freedom that our phones provide for us, the reality and the statistics of what these things have actually done to us as a people are staggering. The amount of time, the hours spent on phones every single day. The reality that for many, your phone is never more than a foot or two away from you at any point during your day. It promises this connection, yet at the same time, what is so true is two friends can sit 3 feet apart from each other and fail to connect with the person in front of you because you're connecting with people on your phone. The skyrocketing rates of depression and loneliness as a result of smartphones all the time, especially in a younger generation being raised on these things. The role that smartphones have played in the epidemic of pornography addiction is just heartbreaking. This thing that promised us all of this freedom, it actually has us handcuffed to it at all times. In our snapshot tonight of Jesus, he was talking to people who were in the same position. See, here these people were, and they're explaining to Jesus why they're free. Because of their heritage and where they come from. Because they've never been slaves to any other nation. But Jesus, as he does, he takes it to the deepest truth. And he says, it's not about your heritage, and it's not about your history, it's about your heart. And everyone who has sinned, he says, is a slave to sin. But in saying this, he clarifies something so important for us. In fact, write this down. It's our main point for tonight. Jesus came for your freedom. Jesus came for your freedom. Jesus, he was clear about his mission, and he was unapologetic about it. He didn't come to fulfill all of your wishes. And Jesus didn't come to just make you feel better in whatever current reality you're experiencing. He came to set people free. In Luke 4, I love this story. Jesus is beginning his ministry. And he goes to the synagogue and he grabs the scroll from Isaiah. And here's what Jesus reads. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." He came because on our own, we are all slaves to sin, and there is nothing that we can do about that in our own power. There are not enough self-help books out there to help you with your sin problem that we all have. There's not enough positive energy you can muster up to deal with your sin problem that we all have. There is not enough denial you can create for yourself to make it not be true that every single one of us on our own is a slave to sin. Everyone, Jesus says, who commits a sin is slave to sin. We don't need a show of hands in here to find out whether or not we got a room full of sinners, all right? It's a problem that we cannot fix on our own. Sin, it puts us into bondage. The problem is, so often, we think it's us exercising our freedom, don't we? Our ability to do whatever we want. But the truth is, we're just putting shackles on ourselves as we do that. As a young man, I thought I was living so free, living my best life, my free life, doing whatever I wanted, my way, my rules. If it sounded fun to me, I was going to do it. If I desired it, I was going to do it. If it appealed to me, I was going to do it because I was free. Until that day, I realized all of my freedom left me completely trapped. Trapped in addiction. Trapped in regret, trapped in fear, trapped in depression. My freedom had turned into a cage. And the problem is, doing whatever I wanted to do, it stopped me from doing the things that God wanted me to do in my life. I wasn't living my best life. I wasn't living a life full of purpose. I wasn't living life with a community around me who wants what's best for me and cheering me on to the things that God has for me. Many in this room can relate. Many have a story similar to that. Some in this room are currently living that reality. So many have exercised their freedom only to realize they've been left in complete bondage as a result. exercising the freedom of your sexuality only to realize I have been left completely addicted in this area or completely lost and broken in this area. Exercising your freedom as a late teen, early 20, whenever it was, to go out and party and just have fun and do whatever you wanted to do. And suddenly you realized you're in complete bondage to these substances that were once so fun, but now it's something you feel like you need in your life all the time. Pursuing a career and success, but ultimately you realized I'm completely just in bondage to money. And if I don't have this financial success, I don't feel like I'm a success as a person. A cage, it can look many different ways, but they all have one thing in common. You can't get out of it on your own. And this is what the people Jesus was speaking to in John 8, what they were dealing with. They were explaining to Jesus how they're completely free. They're explaining how their heritage, where they come from, how it meant that they were free. And Jesus says, you think you can free yourself from this on your own, but it doesn't work like that. And anyone who has ever worked harder to not sin knows that's not how it works. See, freedom is found in Christ alone. Yes, we respond. Yes, we obey. And we'll talk in a few minutes about some practical ways that we can do that. But for now, we need to begin with the foundation of realizing that freedom from sin is only found through Christ and on what he did for us. And that's the reason why he came. That's why he came. Jesus knew that every single one of us, we were going to mistake our freedom for a cage. We were going to become slaves to sin. And that's why he came. That is what he accomplished on the cross. If you have placed your trust in Jesus, he has purchased your freedom from sin and reconciled you back to God so that you can live the freest life possible. But here's the thing. Jesus doesn't just set us free and then leave us on our own to roam around and try to figure it all out. His plan is for your greatest freedom, Fusion. But that freedom, it comes through slavery, which is confusing, I know. Let's look at Romans chapter 6, what Paul says about this. Paul says, don't you know that if you offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of that one you obey, either of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness. But thank God that although you used to be slaves of sin, you obeyed from the heart that pattern of teaching to which you were handed over, that teaching of Jesus, and have been set free from sin. You became enslaved to righteousness. Now, this idea is crucial for us to understand. Here, Paul says that whatever you offer yourselves to, whatever you give yourselves to obey and follow, you are a slave to that thing. And you used to do that with sin. You used to offer yourself to sin. You used to obey sin. And so you were a slave to sin. But thanks be to God that if you have said yes to Jesus and to his word about who he is, you are now enslaved to righteousness. You are enslaved to Christ. Paul is getting at something that is so important for us to understand. We are going to be a slave to something. We don't actually have the option to not be a slave to something. I remember when I was in Bible college, I was taking a class on the book of Romans, and this concept was frustrating to me. I'm free, but I'm still a slave. I don't want to be a slave. I want my independence. I want to do things my way. I want to make my own choices. How does freedom come through slavery? My professor explained it like this. This is deep. Are there any Pokemon fans in the room? Anybody? Okay. Yeah, was anybody raised on Pokemon as a kid? Okay. I was not, to be honest with you. I was never into them. My education about Pokemon came in Bible college, which is not what I was expecting to learn at that school, but you learn what you learn. So here's what I was taught. Pokemon are these wild little creatures, these little monster things. And Pokemon will be captured by a trainer. Now, here's the thing. If a Pokemon is captured by an evil trainer, a bad trainer, the Pokemon will respond to the nature and the leading of that bad trainer and will do the evil and the bad things that trainer wants it to do. But if that same Pokemon is captured by a good trainer, it will respond to the good nature of that trainer and will do the right things, the good things that trainer is leading it to do. Pokemon go as the trainer goes. Why am I talking about Pokemon in church? You're like, Bo, this is the weirdest illustration you ever used. I know. Stick with me. I think we have more in common with Pokemon than we think. Follow me. Like Pokemon, we are going to respond to the nature and to the leading of our master. The Bible makes it clear there is God, and he is holy, and he is righteous, and he is good, and he has your best in mind. And there is an enemy. He is evil. He is the father of lies. He seeks your destruction. He has your worst in mind. And unless you choose to turn to God, you are a slave to sin. You are a slave to your enemy. In John 8, these people, they were telling Jesus why they're free. And they were saying, our father's Abraham. And Jesus responds later on in that section by saying, your father's not Abraham. Your father is the devil. And you want to carry out his desires. Jesus and Paul were both telling us, you are going to listen to one of these voices. And the one that you listen to, the one you obey, that one is your master. You are going to be a slave to that master. The question is, Fusion, who is your master? Is it sin or is it Christ? That's the choice you get to make. Who will be your master? Whose voice are you going to listen to? The truth is, Scripture tells us when you put your trust in Christ, you are dead to sin. What a beautiful, hope-giving truth for us to remember tonight. But ask anybody who's been following Jesus longer than 5 minutes, and they'll tell you, though you are dead to sin, temptation remains, doesn't it? You see, your enemy, he wants you back. He doesn't want you to stay free. Fusion, he doesn't want you walking around full of purpose, full of freedom, full of faith, full of hope. He doesn't want you walking around in your kingdom purpose, but that is exactly what God has for you. Through being enslaved to God, you have your freest life ahead of you. But temptation remains. So how? How can we walk in the freedom that Jesus provides for us? Galatians 5:1 says this, it is for freedom that Christ sets you free. Stand firm then and don't submit again to the yoke of slavery. That word submit, man, that means there's a choice. He's saying don't give up. Don't tap out. Don't go back to the way that it used to be. Stand firm. Walk in your freedom for which Christ has set you free. You weren't set free just to go back into slavery again. Jesus didn't do the work on the cross of dying for the sins of the world, bringing freedom to his people, just to see his people walking around still bound up, still in chains, still caught up in the sin that once was trying to destroy them. You were set free to walk in freedom, to live in freedom, to live a life full of purpose, full of power, and full of hope. So how do we walk in this freedom? How do we walk in this freedom that Christ has given us? Three ways. Number one, continue in his word. Continue in his word. This is where it begins. It begins with continuing in his word. When Jesus says the truth will set you free, that setting free, that isn't an action that you do. You can't free yourself. The truth sets you free. You obey the truth and you are set free. Fusion, freedom is found in Christ's word, namely the truth of who he is. In this whole passage of John 8, there is this parallel between sonship and slavery going on. And Jesus says that our freedom is found when the Son gives it to us. Know him to be the Son who sets you free. Recognize that freedom is found nowhere else. And listen, it is good news that He is the one who sets us free. It's good news that He is the path to freedom. Because if He isn't the path to freedom, then I have to be my own path to freedom. And Fusion, I am a terrible path to my own freedom. See, the less we acknowledge Jesus to be, the more we have to be. And I'm just not enough to set myself free. And you aren't either. So continue in His word. Recognize His word declaring Himself to be the Son who sets you free, the only path to freedom. Number two, live with boundaries. Live with boundaries. You see, freedom doesn't mean living limitless. For freedom, Christ sets you free, but that freedom, it comes with boundaries. And what boundaries? The truth that we find in God's word. The truth of Scripture. Blake and I are currently fighting that hard battle of trying to have a 2-year-old daughter, our daughter Austin, trying to help her live the freest life she can possibly live, while at the same time helping her avoid getting into situations where she's going to be hurt or not live her best life. Yesterday, we were driving home from Life Group. Our Life Group meets on Saturday afternoons. And we were driving home at about 5 p.m. on the 134 freeway going through Glendale back towards Eagle Rock. And Austin was in the back seat, and Austin said, "Daddy, I want to walk." And I was like, "You want to walk in the car?" She said, "No, I want to walk there." She points out of the car at the freeway. And I was like, "Baby, you want to walk on the freeway right now at 5 p.m. on a Saturday evening on the 134? And she says, "Yeah." And I said, "Well, Austin, if that's going to be you being the most authentic you, and if that's really what you're wanting, and that's really, if that's going to help you live your freest life, let me throw this thing in park, open up that door, and let you walk on that freeway." No, I didn't say that at all. I said, "Baby girl, I hear you, but you're going to stay buckled into that car seat in this car because I am your father, and I know that's what you think you want, but I have a perspective you do not have. I see things you do not see. I have your best interest in mind, and I know for you that the boundary of your car seat is the best possible reality for you." Fusion, listen. If you are going to trust that God is all powerful, and if you are going to trust that God is all knowing, and if you're going to trust that God loves you, then at some point you're going to have to acknowledge, I'm going to have to acknowledge, He sees things that we do not see. He has a perspective we do not have. And He says to us, "I understand that might be something you want to do. I understand that might be something you're feeling a desire to do, but that is not your best life. That is not your freest life." And that will come with boundaries. Fusion, the places in my life where I was once so bound by sin, but now I am walking in freedom, all of those areas also have boundaries drawn around them. I'm not living a free life because I'm able to do anything that I ever want to do. I'm living a life free from the bondage of sin because I trust that Jesus has set me free and because I have boundaries drawn around those areas. If you've got something in your life, an area where you know sin just has you just bound, and you need some help setting boundaries, talk to a life group leader, talk to a pastor, talk to a trusted friend, get some help with that. But you've got to know that to walk in the freedom Jesus has for you means you will walk with the boundaries that Scripture and that the Holy Spirit are going to bring to you. So live with boundaries. Number three, finally, focus on your freedom. And Jacob, if you'll join me up here, focus on your freedom. Jesus said that if we continue in His word, then we will be His disciples, He said. To be a disciple is to be disciplined. And discipline is just remembering what you really want. Do you want to get in shape? Discipline is remembering what you really want. Do you want to get in shape? If so, when that alarm goes off at 6 a.m. and you want to stay in bed and sleep, you'll remember, no, no, no. As much as I want to stay in bed and sleep, more so, it's March and summer's coming and I want to be in shape when summer gets here. So I'm going to get out of bed and go work out. To be a disciple of Jesus is to remember what you really want, which is to look more and more and more like your master. It means you remember that, yes, there may be times that you're going to be tempted to sin, but more than you want those things, those temptations, you more so want to be like Christ. And you want to walk in the freedom and in the power and in the wholeness that he has for you to walk in. The disciples we read out in Scripture, they were focused on Jesus. They didn't get lost, and they did not wander off. Your enemy, he's going to want to try to get you back. Anybody ever have a breakup with somebody, and instead of moving on from that fool like you should have, you just think about them, and you 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 scroll through their Instagram, and you pray you don't accidentally like a picture from 87 weeks ago. And the more you focus on that person, the less free you are to move forward into your future, into what else is coming for you. Listen, Satan wants to be on your mind. He wants to be your focus. But listen, that is your foe, not your focus. That is your foe, not your focus. Don't get confused there. Don't constantly relive all of your worst moments over and over again, berating yourself for the times that you failed. Don't be so consumed with your struggles and with the temptations that it becomes all that you can see. Listen, Satan knows that if he can keep you focused on him and on what he is trying to do in your life, that means you are not focused on your freedom, and you are not focused on Christ, and you are not focused on what Christ has for you to do. You're not focused on your kingdom purpose. And Fusion, we have too much to do.
Come on,
we've got too much to do.
Amen.
You've got too big of a kingdom purpose to be constantly focusing on your enemy. There are too many lost people in this city. There are too many hurting and broken people in this city that God wants to send you to. But if you can't focus on your own freedom, how are you ever going to tell somebody else about the freedom that Jesus has for them? Focus on your freedom, not on the enemy. That is your foe, not your focus. You get your eyes up. You focus on Jesus. You focus on the cross. You focus on your forgiveness. You focus on the wholeness that he has for you. You focus on the purpose that he has for you, for the plan that he has for you. And yes, there are things that are going to need to be dealt with in your life. I'm not saying you ignore things that need to be dealt with. But do not let those things consume you. Don't let them become your focus. You focus on Christ and on what he has done. Because if the Son has set you free, you are free indeed. Your identity is not in what you've done. Your identity is not in the mistakes that you've made. Your identity is as a daughter or a son of the living God who died to set you free so that you can walk in all of the power, all of the purpose, all of the hope, all of the life, that abundant life that he has for you. We're going to worship in a moment, and we're going to take an opportunity to respond to this. But before we do, I just want to ask, in fact, can we bow our heads and close our eyes? I want to give us a moment to just reflect on this. The first opportunity, the first thing that I just want to ask is there anybody in this room who has never been set free? You have never placed your trust in Jesus. You have never looked at Jesus, at his word, placed your trust in his word that he is the one who sets you free. If that is you, this is your moment. Do not let this opportunity pass you by. He loves you so much. He knows you. He created you. He died to set you free so that you no longer have to be a slave to the sin that is destroying you. And so if you're here and you've never made the decision to follow Jesus, you've never put your trust in him, but you want to do that right now, would you just raise your hand in the air? Raise your hand right now if that's you. I see that hand right there. Absolutely. Yep. Both of those. Great. Yes. Hands. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If you're making that decision now, would you come talk to a pastor when the service is over? We would love to talk with you and pray with you. Next, do you need to continue in the word of Jesus? Remembering that he alone is where freedom is found. Do you need to remind yourself of this now? Have you been trying to walk in freedom on your own? Trying to power through? Trying to get a grip on this thing? If so, would you remember now that freedom is found through Jesus alone? Maybe there's some boundaries that you need to set in your life. Some accountability you need to get. Some places you need to decide you're not going anymore. Some hard decisions you've got to make with a relationship, with some friends, with what you give yourself access to. Be brave and courageous right now. Set those boundaries tonight. Don't wait on that. And finally, do you need to set your focus on your freedom that Christ has provided for you instead of your own sin? Listen, Jesus is not reminding you of all of your sin. You don't need to remind yourself of it either. Walk in that freedom. Focus on it. Deal with what needs to be dealt with, but focus on the fact that Jesus has set you free. So Lord, we pray that you would make us a people who walk in the freedom that you have provided for us. Thank you, Jesus, that you came for our freedom, that you died on the cross to free us from the slavery that we were all in to sin. And now, Lord, we pray that you would help us to walk in the freedom that you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen.